We have been on a journey together studying the Lord's Prayer and for the last 3 months or so. This has been an interesting, larger time block where we spent a long time studying this letter to Romans. And as we came out of Romans, we'd heard what God had done in giving us grace, and we'd heard what God had done in giving us a life that we live out of that new kind of righteousness that comes by faith. And then we moved out of that pretty heavy study in terms of what Paul was writing in Romans, and we land over in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount is the Lord's Prayer. After you have heard Jesus ask blessings on all of those who are in difficult straits spiritually, and those who are trying to live up to spiritual strength spiritually, he talks about the salt and the light and who upholds the law, and he offers a high standard of behavior. And he talks about how we'll worship together, and then in that context of public worship, there's the Lord's Prayer. And you come right out of the Lord's Prayer and that section on how you worship in public, and you come right into a section on how you regard the things that you own and how you think about the things of your life. And out of that, then you're asked to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And you're asked not to judge, and you're asked to seek and knock. You're asked to walk a narrow path and not get lost on the broad way that leads to destruction. And you're told that there will be many who will say, "Lord, Lord," but those who have not done the will of the Father will not find themselves with the Father. And then he talks about the ones who will build their house on the rock and not on the sand. And in the middle of that Lord's Prayer, like a diamond, there it is, the Lord's Prayer. And so we focused on the Lord's Prayer. How do people pray who are coming out of the Beatitudes and the new way of relating to the law? And how do people pray who are going to use the things of this world correctly and seek God with all their heart and build their house on the rock? How do they pray? So we heard that, and just a while ago we recited that prayer together. I don't know what the disciples thought about that prayer as they went on through the life of Jesus. I don't know if he brought that up again from the Gospel of Luke. It sounds like that he had a prayer like that he would pray on occasion. And so they would hear that time and time again. I've wondered, though, what that prayer sounded like as Jesus approached the cross. As they were turning there at Jericho and heading west up into the mountains toward Jerusalem, what did that prayer sound like? Did it sound like the promises were going to be secure, like the kingdom was actually coming, like forgiveness would be something that would be ours? Did it sound like that God would be there to keep us from trying times and deliver us from the evil one? And on the night Jesus is betrayed, how does it sound, the Lord's Prayer, in the ears of those who are faithful? And I wonder how it sounded between the cross and the resurrection. As the disciples gathered after Jesus is crucified, we know that the people who were walking to Emmaus had given up hope. Really, we had hoped that he was the consolation of Israel. We had hoped. Now they're going home. And I've got a feeling that this prayer that this rabbi had given them to pray is not a prayer that many of them are thinking they're going to pray much anymore if Jesus is just in the tomb, graveyard dead. But the morning of the resurrection comes. And to me, the morning of the resurrection gives energy and fire to this prayer that Jesus offers in the Sermon on the Mount. And that as you look at Acts chapter 1, where 120 disciples are in an upper room waiting for the next thing that will happen in the coming of the kingdom of God, it says they're gathered there praying. I wonder if anybody dared to pray this prayer. Our Father, the Father of the now risen and ascended Lord Jesus, hallowed be your name. We have seen your holiness in the resurrected Lord Jesus. Your kingdom come. Your power on earth as it is in heaven. Your power has been on earth as it is in heaven. The power of heaven has raised Jesus from the dead, rolled a stone away. He walked out into a Sunday morning's light. We have seen the power of the kingdom. Let it come. And the Lord Jesus is the one who's going to give us our daily bread. The one who is the bread of life given from heaven has come to earth and has ascended to heaven. But we are forever fed on this spiritual bread. And you're now going to forgive us on the basis of that cross sacrifice that has been made eternal sacrifice by the resurrection. You're now going to let us be a forgiving people by having mercy in our heart that is like the mercy that you exhibited at the cross of Jesus. You are going to let us pray this prayer filled. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But I'll tell you this, Lord. If you need to lead us to a place like you took Jesus, we'll go. If you need to take us to a time of temptation like you took the Lord Jesus, we'll go. We are not praying for quiet times and timid ways. The tomb is empty. The cross is embarrassed at its lack of power. And now, Lord Jesus, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, and we will be yours. I can hear that prayer prayed in the upper room. I don't know where else it was prayed, but I do know that down through Christian history, Christians have prayed this prayer in the times when they were a favored faith and when they were an illegal faith. This morning in our Bible class, we spent a little time looking at what was said in the Didache, the teaching of the apostles, a work done by the early church just after the turn of the first century. And in that work, it says, pray the Lord's Prayer. And at the end of it, it has the end we often put on it, for thine is the kingdom and the power. This prayer is not a dead letter. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, this prayer is a confession of faith. This prayer stands as confession and creed and statement through the life of the church. This is what we believe. We say it not in terms of creedal, credo, I believe, I believe, I believe. We say what we believe in terms of the Our Father. We say it. And not only do we say it, but it leads us to our times of rejoicing and praise. We read from Psalm 145 and 146 today. Psalms of praise. The Old Testament writers looking back at all that God had done and saying, God, I see your mighty works and I will praise you in the gates. I will praise you as long as I live. I will praise you. And they had seen things. They had seen the children of Israel delivered out of Egypt. They had seen that. They had seen marvelous things. They had seen the Red Sea and the giving of the law and the conquest of Canaan. They had seen it. They had seen the establishment of the kingdom of David and the building of the temple. They had seen amazing things. But they haven't seen anything like what we see in the resurrection of Jesus after His death on the cross. And so, this morning, we focus on this statement. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This isn't even anything that was written in the original documents, but this is what the early church wanted to say at the end of this prayer. And so after they had said this and said this and said this, finally, by about the 5th century, they were just copying it in the book. So I believe, yeah, sure, it was the short ending. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right. But for the church has always thought the end of the Lord's Prayer was a time for praise and worship. And so as we come to the end of this series, we do too. The kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, Father. And we hold ourselves before God and we say, you are king. And we are acknowledging your power to rule. And we're acknowledging our right to be ruled. Lord, reign in us. Lord, reign in our hearts. Lord, reign in our work. Lord, reign in us. Reign in us. Be the kingdom ruler. We will submit. Jesus is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we will stand before Him and praise Him. We praise the Lord and we praise Him for the power that He brings. For thine is the kingdom and the power. The church knew that the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 was right. That we have had our life made new by the same power working in us that raised Jesus from the dead. We have been raised from death to life while we live by the same power that raised Jesus from dead in the tomb to alive in the garden. And as we praise God for His power that has come, we also praise God that His power now works through us. We are not powerless. We are power-filled. We are not victims, but we are conquerors in Christ. We are the ones who have been chosen by God and given this great privilege of living in His power and the glory. Moses walked down off the mountain and his face was aglow. And he covered it because Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 that he didn't want to discourage the people by losing the glory. But he says there in chapter 3, verse 18, but now we who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of God, a glory that does not diminish. This is our privilege and our honor to say, to you be the glory. To you be the kingdom and the power and the glory. Lord, the glory. I don't know if you can hold on to it today, but to be able to stand in the glory of God. God's love is given over us. God's attention. God's mercy. God's forgiveness. God's name is on us as adopted children. God's Spirit is within us. God's future is our future. And by the way, the Spirit bears fruit in our life. Our life reflects the very nature of God. God's glory is over us, but God's glory is in us. And we praise Him. And now we praise Him. We have hearts to praise Him. We have wandered for months through this prayer. It has become a statement not only of what we might pray, but a statement of what we believe. And this morning I pray not only a statement of what we believe, but of what we celebrate in Christ, that we worship and glory and praise the Lord with all of our hearts. We praise Him with all of our hearts. God is good, and He has shown us His goodness in Jesus Christ. And now we live to the praise of His glory. Let's stand together.